Tonight to Genesis chapter 15. Genesis chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees, to give thee this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, whereby shall I know that I shall inherit it? And he said unto him, Take me an heifer of 3 years old, and a she-goat of 3 years old, and a ram of 3 years old, and a turtle dove, and a young pigeon. And he took unto him all these, and divided them in the midst, and laid each piece one against another, but the birds divided he not. And when the fowls came down upon the carcasses, Abram drove them away. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo, an horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace, and thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, for the iniquity of the Amorites is not yet full. And it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. And the same day the Lord made a covenant with Abram, saying, Unto thy seed have I given this land, from the river of Egypt unto the great river, to the river Euphrates, the Canaanites and the Kenizzites and the Kadmonites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Rephaims and the Amorites and the Canaanites and the Girgashites and the Jebusites. In the letter of Romans, the Apostle Paul quotes verse 6 here in this chapter in showing that Abraham was counted righteous, that he was justified before the law of God, the law of Moses, the law of God, was ever given. That Abraham was justified before the law was ever given, showing that justification is not by obedience to the law. The scripture there in Romans chapter 4 reads, What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? That is, what shall we, Jews, what shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if, it's a big if, isn't it? For if Abraham were justified by works, by obedience to the law, if he were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? And here it is, the scripture here in verse 6, here in 15, verse 6. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted or imputed unto him for righteousness. Now the question is, what was imputed unto him for righteousness? Some will tell us it was his faith, but it wasn't his faith that was imputed unto him for righteousness, but it was the object of his faith, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. It was not the promise he believed that was counted unto him for righteousness, but it was his seed, that is, the seed that God promised, in whom all the nations of the earth would be blessed. Abraham, remember our Lord said, he saw my day and he rejoiced. It was his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and believing God, God counted that righteousness that the Lord Jesus Christ would bring in when he came into this world, was counted his righteousness. Just Abraham was justified. He was declared righteous before God the same way that all men are who are justified, even though he lived so many hundreds of years before the law was given. Now, God promised to give him the land of Canaan. You see that in verse 7. And he said unto him, I am the Lord that brought thee out of Ur of the Chaldees to give thee this land to inherit it. And then the Lord made a covenant with Abram. The covenant was made by Abram taking those animals and cutting them in two pieces. And then that burning lamp, which was a picture, a type of the Lord going between them. That's the way a covenant was made, to cut the covenant was to divide the animals. It was a unilateral covenant. God, in this burning lamp, passed between these pieces of animals that were sacrificed there. And then we see that in verses 9 and 10. And he said unto him, take me an heifer of 3 years old. And he gave him the animals that he was to take, and to separate them, to divide them in the midst, that is, and cut them in two pieces. And then, of course, down in verse 17 and 18, we read, and it came to pass that when the sun went down and it was dark, behold, a smoking furnace and a burning lamp that passed between those pieces. That's the way the Lord made that covenant with Abram to give Abram and his seed the land of Canaan. Now, I want us to look at what the Lord told Abraham. I read this a few weeks ago, and I was impressed with this, and I wanted to bring this to us this evening. I want us to look at what the Lord told Abraham that would take place in verses 13 through 16. And there are seven things that God told Abraham that would take place. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. And also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge, and afterward they shall come out with great substance. And thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Thou shalt be buried in a good old age. But in the fourth generation, they shall come hither again for the iniquity of the Amorites. That is, the people of the land of Canaan was not yet full. Think of the fact that God, sometimes people say, well, God commanded Israel to go in there and destroy all these people. How can that be right? Well, notice the long-suffering of God, the patience of God, his forbearance with these vessels of wrath. He gave them years, 400 years to repent. But they were nations that were fully given over to wickedness and evil, everything against God and against righteousness and everything against what God Almighty stands for. But see the patience of God. See the goodness of God. People always want to point out that God is somehow cruel. No, they receive justice. That's what they receive for their sins, for their iniquities, even though God had given them space to repent. But there was no repentance. Now, I want us to look at what God told Abraham would take place. And my point in us looking at these things is to remind us again, first of all, of God's sovereignty. Of God's sovereignty and God's wisdom, His power, and His faithfulness in fulfilling His word. The word which He here made known unto Abraham. You know, the Apostle James in the New Testament said, known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. All of His works are known unto God. He knows the end, in other words, from the beginning. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. In Psalm 22, the psalmist said, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and He is the governor among the nations. All nations. He's the governor among the nations. And then in Ephesians, the Apostle Paul said, according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. So there's seven things we'll notice here. First of all, know of a surety you shall have a seed. Abram, know of a surety you shall have a seed. Notice that, the first part of verse 13. He said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed. But Abraham would say, well, I don't have a seed. Notice that in verses 2 and 3. He didn't have a seed at that time, did he? Abraham said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abraham said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed. But the Lord here tells Abram, know of a surety that thy seed, you're going to have a seed. You're going to have a seed, Abram. Though you will be 100 years old, and your wife 90 years of age, behold, your seed, Abram. And as I wrote these notes out, I thought, have we heard that so many times that it has lost the wonder of that, the amazement of that, that a woman 90 years of age, far past the age of childbearing, that she would have a son? And remember what that angel said to Sarah when she laughed, when she had overheard the angel telling Abram that about this time next year, your wife is going to have a child. And she laughed in unbelief. And remember, the angel said, is there anything too hard for the Lord? What a comfort for you and for me tonight, for all of God's children. No matter how difficult our situation may be that we may find ourselves in, is there anything too hard for the Lord? How this should encourage us in believing God and trusting God, because He's able. There's nothing too hard for Him. The Lord of hosts has sworn, saying, surely, as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. God's purpose shall be accomplished. The second thing here, know of a surety, thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Now, why would Abraham's seed ever go into a land that was not theirs? How is this going to take place? How is this going to be accomplished? and I have several things. First of all, the Lord will first send one of Abraham's seed into this land that was not theirs. Abraham's grandson, Jacob, will have 12 sons, and 10 will become jealous of one of their brothers. And think of what all it would have to take place for that to happen. Now that Joseph would have to have those dreams. And his brothers and his father even having to have that coat of many colors made for Joseph, showing that he showed preference to Joseph. And that just increased, didn't it? The jealousy, the hatred that these 10 half-brothers of Joseph had of him. This is going to happen, Abram. Know of a surety, thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. Your grandson, Jacob, he's going to find a wife. He's going to deceive his father, your son Isaac. He's going to deceive him and run for his life and end up over in a country. And he's going to be deceived. And when he thinks he's marrying the love of his life, which he did, but he ended up with 2 wives and then eventually 4 wives. All of this is going to take place. Your seed, know of a certainty, Abram, that your seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. What they did to him, that is what his 10 brothers did to Joseph, we know was out of malice. And yet Joseph himself later said, "You thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive." Know of a surety, Abram, your seed, thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs. And then after that son gets sold into bondage, a particular man, not just any man, but a particular man had to buy him. And the Lord gave Joseph favor in the eyes of that man, and that man made him lord over his whole house. All of this has to take place. You see what I'm saying? We see the sovereignty of God, the wisdom of God, the power of God, and the faithfulness, the truthfulness of God. Know of a surety, Abram. You don't question this. You don't doubt this. And then he's going to end up in prison. We know how that took place, how that came about. And then the king of Egypt, he gets mad at his butler and his baker and puts them in prison. And they just happen to dream a dream. And Joseph interprets the dream to those men. And he asks the baker, I believe it was, the baker to remember him. And the baker, he was restored to his place serving the king, Pharaoh, but he forgot Joseph. I think it was 3 years went by. And then Pharaoh dreamed a dream. And nobody could interpret his dream. And this baker remembered that there was a man that he met in prison who could interpret dreams. And here comes Joseph up, interprets the dream, and Pharaoh's so impressed with his interpretation, he makes him overseer of all of Egypt. Only Pharaoh was higher in authority than Joseph. The scripture says, "For promotion cometh neither from the east, nor from the west, nor from the south, but God is judge. He putteth down one and setteth up another." All this has to take place for this word that God spoke to Abram to be fulfilled. And a third thing, we know how it was. Jacob and all of his seed came down into Egypt. There were 70, counting Joseph and his children. 70 of them went down into Egypt, the seed of Abram. The third thing that he was told, Abram, know of a surety, thy seed shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Now, what's got to take place? What all has to happen for God to make good this promise? For God to make good this word? Yeah. Well, when they entered Egypt, when Jacob and his sons and his family, when they all entered into Egypt, remember, they were received with open arms, the best of the land. Pharaoh told Joseph, the land of Egypt is before thee, in the best of the land make thy father and thy brethren to dwell. In other words, they could live anywhere in Egypt. They went down there favorites to the Pharaoh. They were not servants. Their brother, their uncle, their son, Joseph, was in the highest place of authority. They were not servants. They were given everything, the best of the land, provided for. But then the scripture says, and men die, don't they? Men die. This Pharaoh died, no doubt. Joseph died. And then the scripture says, there rose up a new king over Egypt, which knew not Joseph. Know of a surety, Abram, thy seed shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. Know this for sure, for sure. They then, over a period of time, we're not certain how long it took for them to go from being favorites there in the land of Egypt. Maybe another army captured Egypt and destroyed the king, set him aside or something. But he didn't know Joseph, whoever he was. And he had no love for these Israelites, the seed of Abram. And so he began to afflict them, and they were made servants. And the scripture says, therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. 400 years they were afflicted in Egypt. And then the fourth thing, know of a surety. It's all here in these verses here in Genesis 15. Know of a surety, that nation whom they serve will I judge. And it's always impressed me that when this Pharaoh would destroy all the boys, all the baby boys that were born to the Israelites, they were to cast them into the river, that he ended up feeding, educating the very man that God had chosen who would deliver his people out of Egypt, Moses. Who, at the age of 80 years of age, would be sent back into Egypt, and God would judge that nation. All those judgments, I believe there are 10 of them, all those judgments which came upon the nation of Egypt, the water turned to blood, the frogs, the lice, the darkness, the death of the firstborn, that really sensed it, didn't it? When God killed all of the firstborn in those houses where there was no blood. And then Pharaoh came and he said to Moses, get out. Get out. God judged that nation. And that wasn't the end of it either, was it? Because after they had left, Pharaoh decided, why in the world did we let them go? what came over me that I would let those slaves go like that? We're going to go get them. Yeah? And God judged all of them. The whole host of the army of Pharaoh drowned in the Red Sea. Noah of a surety, Abram, that nation whom your seed will serve, I will judge. Fifth, Noah of a surety, they shall come out with great substance. When they're going to come out, and they're going to come out not poverty-stricken, they're going to come out wealthy. They're going to come out with great riches. How is that going to happen? Look with me in Exodus just a moment. Exodus chapter 11. In Exodus chapter 11, verses 1 through 3, we read, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold." Now notice this, "And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians." He gave them favor. You know that scripture says the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, but everyone else's heart is in the hand of the Lord. And these people borrowed from their neighbors, from the Egyptians, and the Egyptians said, "Sure, be my pleasure. I've got some diamonds, I've got some rubies, I've got some pearls over here, I've got some gold and silver I've been saving up. How much do you want? Take it, take it." God gave them favor so that they plundered that nation. And they did it with those people just opening up their coffers and giving unto the Israelites. Now later, someone said, "Well, was that right?" Well, they'd served these people without pay. They'd been slaves for 400 years. They were just getting paid for their free labor. When they came into the wilderness and God gave Moses the instructions concerning the tabernacle, remember there was pieces of furniture that was made out of incorruptible wood but covered over with gold. Where are they going to get that gold? They've got it. There were precious jewels on the dress of the high priest. Where are they going to get those precious jewels? They've got them. The Egyptians gave them to them. They plundered that nation. Just like God said, they shall come out with great substance. Know of a surety. And then the sixth thing, know of a surety, thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. This is the sixth thing that I see here that God told Abram. Verse 15, and thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. Now that speaks of his death, of course. Abraham's death. Thou shalt go to thy fathers. Well, his fathers had already preceded him in death. This shows the immortality of the soul, for one thing. Yes, his fathers had died, but they were still persons. You know, some people think that when a person dies, that's just the end of life, the end of existence. No, not at all. We have a soul. God has created man and breathed into him the breath of life. And every person has a soul that's going to exist forever, never ending. But Abraham, you will go to your fathers in peace. think about this peace. Look over to chapter 25, Genesis chapter 25. We read about that. Verses 7 and 8. We read Genesis 25, verse 7. These are the days of the years of Abraham's life which he lived, and 175 years, 175 years old. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man, and full of years, and was gathered to his people. Of a surety, Abraham, know thou shalt go to thy fathers in peace. When we think about him dying in peace, remember Balaam said, let me die the death of the righteous. But he died with the wicked. Balaam, that false prophet, did. Abraham died in peace. Peace with God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. And the last thing, Abram, know of a surety, thou shalt be buried in a good old age. There in that chapter 25 of Genesis, we read verse 9, and his sons Isaac and Ishmael buried him in the cave of Machpelah. You know, that's the only piece of ground that Abraham ever owned in the land of Canaan. Although God had given him all that land, it was all his seed. But he bought that cave when his wife Sarah died, a cave in which to bury her. And his two sons, Ishmael and Isaac, buried him there. Jeremiah, the scripture says, I have spoken it. God did. I have spoken it. I have purposed it and will not repent, neither will I turn back from it. Know of a surety, Abram, all these things are going to take place, and they all took place. And I say unto us tonight, know of a surety, he that cometh unto me, that is to Christ, I will in no wise cast out. No, of a surety. It's certain. Certain. No, of a surety. Casting all your care upon him. No, of a surety. He careth for you. No, of a surety. That all things work together for good. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. How faithful, how truthful, how powerful is the Lord our God. Amen. Know of a surety. We should never question or doubt his word, because there's nothing or no one that can hinder God in accomplishing what he has purposed. He will bring it to pass. May the Lord bless these words to us here tonight.